This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, November 25th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we actually have an abridged Open Line Friday. That's right, I'm going to have an abridged version of Open Line Friday because at the 11:30 mark, we should be having members of the Salvation Army who will be updating us on their efforts for their Red Kettle efforts during the Christmas. So I'm kind of excited about that, and I'm just waiting for them to log online. But that's going to be at the 11:30 mark. But in the meantime, if you want to call me and have a discussion on what is trending inside the news, what is trending on social media, or you want me to comment on something, call me up, and I'll be happy to entertain that. But I have one or two things, as usual, that I want to speak about. It caught my attention. And I say, hey, let me bring this on the radio and see if anyone else notices that. Okay, recently, I wonder if I should start that or go on something different, right? I want to bring your attention to the headline in the Nassau Guardian. And I want to ask, what is in a verb? Like, the verb, you know, action word. How important is a verb? I'm reading the Nassau Guardian headline, right? And the headline has renewed focus on shantytown issue, right? And then went on in interministerial committee to be formed to address building crown land violations. So I underline some words: to be formed and renewed focus. Renewed focus means that they weren't focused at all before, and now they are now going to focus on something. Then I look at the word to be formed. That means it hasn't been formed as yet. That's what to be formed means, right? And this is coming after the press secretary, Clint Watson, from the office of the prime minister, who said that it was recommended. And I remember when it was recommended, though, that was about 4 to 5 months ago by the Minister of Works, said that there's going to be an interministerial committee formed, which means that have various ministries, social services, Ministry of Immigration, Ministry of National Security, and so on, is going to come together and investigate the shanty towns. But it seems like as if that never happened, because it's going to be, what a verb they use again, to be formed. So that's like 4 to 5 months ago this statement was made, right? And he ain't formed yet. Then I look at the word again, renewed focus. And I said, there's no sense of urgency about this thing. It's Christmas. Nobody puts people out off their houses during the Christmas season. So that's December, that's January. This being from February, we've been talking about this, you know. This has been from February, we've been talking about it since the Minister of Works being making comments, Minister of Immigration, Minister of National Security being making comments. This is from last year, February. This year, February to now, and nothing has happened yet. So I smiling. And then what else I wanted to read? What a newspaper going. Something else that the press secretary said that caught my attention. I said, I wonder if anyone else noticed that, okay? I'm going to read it here. I got it right here, right? Let's see. Watson said the Watson said the complicity of Bahamians have held up the process of addressing shantytowns. He said some of the structures are located on land given to Bahamians for farming. We're finding out that they're not farming, Watson said. They're renting out the space to persons who fall in this category and are making rent from it. So you can't... Now, this is the part what got me. Hold on. I want to read it here. I'm going to slow it down and listen what you say. You can't. This is the press secretary of the government of the prime minister saying this. so you can't move somebody who is occupying a space who has permission by the person who legally has rights to the space, and they're saying, well, I'm paying rent. That is what is happening to these people. See? I'm not sure if you understand exactly what the press secretary said just now. I know if you act, you can't be moving these people who have, saying that they have a right to be there because they're paying rent. Mind you, in the sentence before, he's saying that the people, the persons who has the access to the land, the title to the land, is it for farming. But they're not farming. They are actually renting it as housing dwelling, right? So that's illegal. And then he's saying that you can't be telling those people that they got to move, right? And then these people ain't get no permits to be living in these space. And he's saying you still can't be telling these people that get to move. It hints towards what is to come, that this thing will be solved anytime soon. Something else I noticed in that same report, right? That same report which says that this interministerial committee that's going to be formed is going to look at who all is in the shantytown. That's one. How many structures are in the shantytown, and whether they can be moved. See the word there? Whether they can be moved or something that another. You know, I got frustrated looking for it exactly. See what it is. Yeah. But the wording is what is vexing me. Like, they have no solution to this. This is beyond us, right? And I said, who running this place? You know, who running this place? So I find that interesting, and that was what I wanted to bring up. Like, what they doing, this interministerial committee? Then something else that caught my attention inside the news, right? It says that this is the Minister of Economic Affairs, that's Alkidas, and he is talking about the crypto exchange company OKX is committed to the Bahamas. And I said, okay, they bring in more crypto exchange companies after FTX. And I said, no, that's good. Because, you know, they're trying to diversify the Bahamas in terms of what we offer, right? And then this cryptocurrency exchange company, OKX, is going to be the lead person, so lead sponsors for the upcoming D3 Bahamas FinTech Festival. I'm not really sure what FinTech is, but they're going to have an entire festival. And I guess similar to the festival that FTX had. And I wonder if OKX is going to bring us some money. You know, I know that other people came and donated all kind of money. And I see OKX give no donation yet. So, you know, if you don't give no donation, I start being concerned. If they're interested in the Bahamas, surely they got to give the Singing Bishop some money. You know, surely they got to go on Meeting Street and give CB Moss some money. They can't keep all of them. Especially this is the second largest crypto exchange, and they ain't start giving us no money yet. Surely they got to host some event. They just can't come here and say hosting this FinTech festival, and I ain't seen no donation yet. You know, a precedence has already been set. You know, it has already been established. And I said, who shall make this call? You know, because I started one charity and I need some money, and I don't want to see people keep on getting access to the people that I ain't getting my chance. You know, I need to get my chance at this cookie jar. You know, but I'm watching, right? And I'm saying that since the precedent has already been established, we know what they are expected to do. OKX needs to come and do what they got to do. I have a text here that says, good morning. I need you to tell me who training these police. Last night, an officer started a fight in Envy nightclub and then proceeded to let off shots. Oh, one of the bullets ricocheted and hit someone. These police are the biggest gang on the street. I'm not sure why the police rang out shots. I guess the thing became overwhelming and that he felt the need to, but yeah, you know, I guess he shoot in the air. He wasn't intending to shoot anybody. But all that is concerned. It's a great show as usual. Question, after this FTX thing blew over, because anything after 3 to 4 weeks is old news, what next the government would mess up? Our government hasn't messed up anything. You know, this FTX thing would have happened no matter what. This happened all over the world because they had all kind of different companies. And you see a number, a million different people was impacted by this. Then they have about 3, 4, 5 businesses, FTX-type businesses, and it impacted all of them. So it's not that our government messed up anything. You know. The issue is, what have we learned from this FTX fallout, right? Are we going to put in new measures, especially when we're having people on the wayside wing there, OKX coming next, right, to establish themselves because we are a jurisdiction that of envy where people want to be. You know, we want to know, make sure that we have new processes that will definitely govern over these things. And what I want to know, who's the lawyer for this OKX? I have my suspicion on who the lawyer is, but I can call that name out, right? But I want to know who's the lawyer. And then I know these people could be buying property too, you know? Who could be the property people to be selling real estate, the real estate agent? I wanted to be the same people who benefited from FTX. I mean, we all got to have the right to make some money, and I could be mad at them. But, you know, sometimes it seems like one person getting everything, all for me at times, you know? And I want to know, should I be entitled to ask such question? Who is the lawyer for these new crypto exchange companies coming in? Because I hear all of them the same people, right? I want to know, or is that private information, right? I want to know who's on these executive board, who all benefiting, you know? If there were any, civil society needed money and donation, who all getting the money? You know, it can't be the same people, man. There's more charities. But anyway, I see the phone are blinking. So you can patch that caller through as I wait for the Salvation Army personnel to come on. And so we go into some detail about this this red vessel thing. Is they on? Patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Oh, there's nobody? That line always blinking coming on and nothing. Oh. No, it's blinking out. It's blinking again. But whoever is calling, don't use that line anymore. Let me give you the lines. The lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Use those lines instead because I have this line that is blinking, and every time it blinks, nothing is coming through. And see, it's blinking again. So if you are that person who is on the line now and you are and ringing, hang that line up because we're unable to answer that. And what another thing that I noticed in the news that got my concern, where I say I need to hash this out. I need to have a conversation. We have a company that the government denied. I want to pull that up on my phone so I can actually read a piece of that. The government denied them to open their business here, right? And for some reason I'm not getting access to my chats, right? Denying them access to do business. And I say, cool, our government have the right to do such, right? But what I notice is that company is suing the Bahamian government for denying them. And they're suing them for $3 billion. And I'm saying, you know how much money $3 billion is? That these people come into the Bahamas, and just because our government found research and said, man, this ain't working, you know, and deny them access to do business, that they decide to call a judicial review and sue out $3 billion. But that was not what would concern me, you know, and I'm still trying to get the notes off the phone going crazy. But this is what I smiled at. I smile at their lawyer. I'm going to see if I can find out who the lawyer is, you know, and I want to read it instead of actually just saying it. Right, but there is a lawyer who is representing this company. Let's see. Okay, I have it right here. Okay, the lawyer for this company seems to be an ambassador at large, right? The ambassador at large representing the Bahamian government, who is a KC. and serving as an ambassador, is the lead lawyer for the company that is suing the Bahamas government for the $3 billion. And I'm trying to say, what is going on here with the laws? We have one ambassador over there who now is investing in housing, right? Want to open up their own housing business and competing. I mean, I didn't even know if you're an ambassador, you can even get jobs financed by the government. But it's a difference, a new day. But now we have ambassadors who were wanting or leading the charge in suing the government. Man, something is wrong with that, man. And I say, I am concerned about these things happening, but nobody asking the question. You know, nobody's watching where all is happening. That we have ambassadors who I think gone rogue, right? They're doing their own thing. They pursuing their own interests. They're trying to get to access to the treasury money. They ain't there representing us. That's how I see it. They ain't there say, well, I'm doing this for the benefit of the Bahamas. They trying to get rich off me. And I am concerned. I mean, suing me for three. You know how much $3 billion? You're trying to close down this the Bahamas. That's even to ask for that. You know, I have another text here say, for all of the questions you asked, if the Bahamas had freedom of information, you didn't have to ask, but they don't want to give it to you, you know. And that's not necessarily true, no. I remember the draft for the Freedom of Information Bill. It had some stipulations. Most of the information will be information that is like 2 to 3 years old or whatever it is, and what is not considered pertinent in negotiation. So even though we are asking for freedom of information, there are certain information we won't be privy to because the negotiations will be still on the line right now, so that'll be held secret. And some information will be, for lack of a better word, held in escrow until the time has expired and we get the information then. And I'm assuming that whenever this freedom of information comes into play, it'll be giving us all information, all data from 10, 20 years ago, and we'll have access to that to understand what's happening. And these are questions that we need to start asking to see exactly what is it that we are buying, right? Another line is light up there, producers. Let's see if they can come into this conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me on this one? Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Good morning, Nuri.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Aaron Cole, I just want to finish listening to you, but please tell us, the listeners, the name of the lawyer who is suing the government.
Look where you're going. It's a case.
For $3 billion, right?
$3 billion with a B.
Well, who this ambassador is suing the government, who must be representing us overseas and suing us here locally or attempting, allegedly, like you're saying,
I could only smile.
It should be public information. But
it is public information.
Okay, so fortunate like you to know, please. Who's the name of the lawyer who's the ambassador doing the government?
I can tell you.
Hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks very much. I can tell you, text me. I got to be safe so I can keep this gig longer, you know? But if I could find the right quote right now, I could read it from the newspaper. And I have it on my phone, but I only have cut. You know, you just screenshot it, and I want to read the whole thing. But this is Ambassador Lodge. He stays suing the government. He just got a settlement. The other day, the PLP didn't go into that case. They plan to settle it all together. Let me see if I'm trying to read it now. You know, I just shake my head when I read these things. Can I zoom that in? No, you ain't zooming in. This phone traps me. See, developer sues for $3 billion. Austrian takes action over. Let me see if I can read that and see if I can find the name. It's coming up. I might be able to read the name. So this was in the Tribune, actually. It said, Life Key resident deals hits by undue influence. Fury over $25 million treasure key performance bond. PM told controversial Austrian, don't let me down. I'm going to scan, see if I can find a name. Scan. You know, I was trying to call a name, you know. Let's see if I can call a name. Where did I think I'm? Cabinet Minister, Casey. No, where? Where my cousin name is, you know? I gotta. Okay, when I do, I can try to get it on the break and try to scan everything and read that part. Another part in the news that got me entertained with, it's been months, maybe over nearly a year from Carnival time, that the Commissioner of Police supposed to have given us the conclusion of the alleged complaint that the Minister of Transport knocked down the police. It being months. He, 3 times so far, he came to the media and said, I'm going to report it tomorrow. I'm going to report it at the end of the week. And he ain't come to us now. It tells a tale about his character. Right? It tells a tale about the commissioner's character that he can't end this story already. Right? We already got a statement from the Minister of National Security, said it didn't happen, he was on the phone. We get a statement from the Minister of Transport and Housing that it didn't happen. And we have an accusation from the police officer. We have the police association giving a statement, and he said the police is investigating it. He said he's coming back to the public. Then he said that, yes, he's coming back to the public at the end of the week. Then he come back again and said he could be coming to the public tomorrow. And it'd be in months. Months. And the commissioner of police has yet to come to stop it, to conclude it, to say, well, this is what happened and this is where it's going. And this just tells a tale about how much he respects us or how much he does not respect us. And I demand that he just answers one time, just end it. You know, say, man, this is what it is. Either she knocked him down, attempted to knock him down, or he didn't, right? Also, I found interesting in the news was the disagreement, I'm going to say that's the word I'm going to use, between the Minister of Housing and the Prime Minister. And this is over the BPL and whether they got notice from the executive BPL that they got to take this rate beforehand. And earlier, the Minister of Minister of Work said, no, they didn't get the information. And the lady on said, yes, they did get the information and was forwarded to the Minister of Finance. And the Minister of Finance concluded that the Bahamas is not going with the special rate. I try to simplify it to show you can explain, right? And so we lost an opportunity and ended up getting charged a higher rate regarding BPL. These things happen. The government made a decision. They thought it was going to be a right decision. And it, for lack of a better word, it backfired and we ended up paying an expensive rate or more, a higher priced. Cool. Just say it and move on. So finally, the Minister of Works admitted and said, yeah, it was a statement came from the Minister of Finance, and they're the ones who decided not to go with it. And right after that, the Prime Minister said, no, that ain't happened. I know what that man's saying over there, meaning the good gentleman who's a minister who says it did happen and came from the Minister of Finance. He said, that never come across my desk ever. Someone else had to make that decision. So now it's a small issue. But it's a matter of principle, matter of protocol, right? Who is telling the truth? Either the Minister of Finance got the information and decided to say, hey, we're going against it, or the Minister of Works confused, like how you and all these ministerial committees that is not working for us. And so I am getting concerned, you know. These are men of certain age, and so I expect them to start doubting themselves at a particular age, but I am concerned. And I see that the Bahamian people are not pushing and asking, saying, man, you can't be making statements like that and inconsistencies. But I have another caller here. Go ahead, Patrick, caller through there. Go ahead, caller. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, brother. How are you doing?
Blessings to you, man. I'm doing well.
According to our constitution, treason is dead by hanging in this country. And what did happen now? We need to start hanging some of the politicians and some of the people who that's in our country up, you know. Maybe people so we can start dealing with them, man. You know, I mean, I don't know what kind of country this is we running, man. I mean, anybody come to the country and break your law, now I got to take 3,000 acres of, and like, again, nobody's going to jail, man. You know, we need the Freedom of Information Act, man. We need real people who run this country, people who love the Bahamas, and people who love us, man. This country, man, look here. If things don't change, what's the secret going to happen, man?
It's a pleasure, though. And mind you, these situations frustrate Bahamians, right? And we call and... I see my guest is here, so we can take a break. And we call and get frustrated, but no one seems to be listening or answering us. But on the other side of this break, we'll be speaking with the person from the... my guest from the Red... What is this, Red Cross? No? 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 But let's take a break now so I can catch myself and find out what's happening. It's the Guardian Radio at AM. I'll be right back. Salvation Army, that's it.
Remember when Zoom was was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And I have representatives from the Salvation Army, actually. And they're going to be giving me some information about their Red Kettle campaign, which they do every holiday season. And I'm kind of excited about that because this is one of those things that you should feel obligated to participate in. And when I pass, I make change to drop something inside that kettle. But I want to know more information for that. And I know I have Miss Coakley is on the Zoom. Also, I think that's Mr. Deems there also. But I got to have them introduce themselves and to just get some more information about what is happening, what is the objective, how successful they are. So I'll start with Miss Coakley. Are you there?
Yes, morning. I'm here.
Go ahead. We start with you, and then you can have them everyone introduce themselves. And again, give me some detail on what exactly is this Red Kettle campaign that you're doing.
Christmas is drawing near, and it's that signature iconic red kettle that you see across New Providence, the Berry Islands, Grand Bahama, and Eleuthera. It's a major fundraising initiative for the Salvation Army, not just for the Christmas, but also up into the new year, supporting many of our programs and the clients we serve throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we launched on November 14th. And so this is the initiative that when you hear us, that change that is dropped in or those dollar bills or those $100 bills goes a very, very long way during this time.
And how long has the Salvation been doing this? It seems to be all my life I've seen persons ringing that bell. Right? But how long has this initiative been going on?
Well, in the Bahamas, this is the 91st bell ringing season.
91 years?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. And that means that generations of Bahamians have participated in this in some way or another in support of your efforts and the great works that the Salvation has been doing over the years.
Yes, it's generational in terms of the support. The Salvation Army has been able to continue for such a very, very long time through different seasons, things happening in the world. It is definitely generational. And it's because of that, the success of what we do is because of those that volunteer, that put the change in corporate Bahamas, that we're able to do what we do every day.
And I guess I'll speak to Mr. Deems. That's Mr. Deems, right?
No, this is Major Aldine Mayo.
Okay, how you doing? Welcome, Major.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and welcome to Guardian Radio. And my question to you is, Coakley mentioned projects, and these projects is run throughout the year, and this is the major fundraiser that support these projects. What type of projects typically does the Salvation Army do?
Well, we have the feeding program that runs throughout the year, and this is a daily feeding program where persons would come to our headquarters, and also sometimes they're done out of our Grantstown unit. And so we have the daily feeding program. We have the grocery bag program. We have the women's and children's shelter. We have the school for the blind and the mop shop. And of course, we offer clothing to those who will benefit from it through our thrift stores.
And I know you tend to have corporate sponsors who come and assist with this, right? And then even civil society tends to volunteer their time in terms of ringing the bell. If I'm a part of an institution and I say, hey, every Christmas, I always wanted to volunteer to do my part, to ring that bell and draw people in to make donations. How does that process go about?
Well, you can just contact us here at the headquarters and we'll be able to sign you up. Normally, our clubs and our teams go out on the weekends. But for the single individuals who want to volunteer to ring the bell, just come into our offices, sign up or volunteer form, and we can get you to a location that you can assist us in collecting the well-needed funds that we need over the year.
And I was scanning the newspaper today, and I saw that y'all take $100.
Yes, and I said,
Now tell me about that, right? Because I'm still trying to work out how, because I have $150 on my wallet, right?
Definitely, you can send it to us.
I can transfer that. I can transfer because I have no idea what I could use it on, and now I see a purpose now. Tell me about that and how I can transfer this $50 to you all.
Ms. Coakley, you can go ahead.
Okay, well, yes, we are in the digital age. And for those that are cashless, yes, you can transfer from your digital wallet. The Salvation Army's name is Salvation Army at sanddollar.bs. So once you go into your wallet, pull up our name, you can transfer the amount, and it is instant. We've been doing remotes of it in reference to other persons that have been doing it, and they are just surprised to see how quickly the funds are received into our digital wallet. If you don't have Omni's digital wallet, any of the platforms,
it could
be Mobile Assist, Canoe, SunCash, all of them, you can donate to the Salvation Army from the comfort of your home. You don't have to be in Nassau, you could be on a family island, and we could still receive that donation today.
The most important part about this, too, is that whatever amount of sand dollars we collect throughout the season, the kettle season, Central Bank of the Bahamas will match that for us.
Repeat that again.
Whatever amount of sand dollars we get throughout the Red Kettle Appeal, Central Bank of the Bahamas has promised to match that.
That's awesome. That means I need to donate more than once to make sure the central bank do their part. That's very impressive. How long is Red Kettle season?
So I guess we go for 6 weeks because we began in November 14 and then we end with 24. But that doesn't mean persons cannot still donate. They can continue to donate through the Sand Dollar platform. They can donate online as well.
Oh, you didn't mention
those
online.
Are other
Let's talk about this online. What do you mean by online?
Ms. Coakley, go ahead.
Well, what you can do is you can log on. Once you log on to your laptop, mobile device, and you type in the SalvationArmyBahamas.org website, there's a donate link, and you can make your donation via your bank to our bank. So there are multiple ways of not just physically giving us your cash as donations, but from the comfort of your home, a lot of persons are now doing that for us. Or Sand Dollar is now the new initiative that the Salvation Army is happy to be partnering in with the central bank. And so, or when you're living out of the malls and the shopping places and the food stores, definitely we can also take that spare change.
And Mom just texted me, right? And she said, does the Salvation Army still do those mopping brooms?
Yes, we do.
My mom listening, so you need to give me some details because she just texted me in the middle of the show, say, ask for the mopping broom, please. So let me do that, please. Go ahead, please.
Ms. Coakley, go ahead.
Okay, well, the mops are made here, right here off Mackey Street in our workshop by visually impaired employees. They are quality mops. They are long-lasting mops. They can be found throughout New Providence and in Grand Bahama and some of the family islands in their food stores. And that's another way of supporting the Salvation Army. If you want some wholesale orders, you can always call our office. And we can do that, but definitely the local food stores do buy from us. And that is another way of supporting the programs and the services of the Salvation Army, in addition to having visually impaired adults engaged in gainful work, independent and able to contribute to society just like you and I.
That's awesome, though. And I want to say thank you for your efforts regarding that to empower Bohemians who are here to make sure they're gainfully employed and can do stuff like that. So I'm going to, since my mom already texted me, I got to at least stop and find out and buy an extra mop to make sure that happens. So definitely.
Yes.
But where all can we find your bellers and the red kettle?
Well, all across New Providence, of course, you can find them at the malls, Super Value, the Quality Markets. You could find them at the banks, where's the places? This year, we're partnering with NIB on a specific day, so we're very happy about that. Coming up in December, so there are kettles at the Berry Islands, so definitely you will find or you will hiss the kettlebell. There we are, just doing our small part as those that give to us help those that are most in need within our community.
The vulnerable amongst us. And I just want to encourage people to make sure when you go to the malls and even the gas stations, wherever it is, to remember the Salvation Army. And every small change counts, you know. So whatever you have. Whatever you have, you just drop it inside there, even if it's just a dollar, you know. And I go to the mall often. So if I go there 5 times a week, I drop $1 inside that, and it adds up. It adds
yes,
up.
Yes, it does.
And definitely with this digital wallet, I can't say I cheap no more and say, oh, I only have a dollar so I can drop it in, because I use the excuse. I only have the dollar. Now I can actually transfer that $50 one time and leave some substantial money there.
Yes, you can.
Yes, but I'm going to sum things up now. What do you want the listening audience to know about what's happening again?
So we just want to continue to encourage those Bahamian supporters and individuals to continue to support our Red Kettle Appeal. It is the major Christmas, it is the major fundraising for the Salvation Army that helps us to run our programs throughout the year. And as we have themed this year, it's love beyond Christmas. So just continue to support us. We want to also thank those persons who have supported us for the many, many years. And we want to thank them for their commitment. So whenever you see the red kettle, just stop by. If you can't stop by, you can go online, donate. You can send in your sand dollars, whatever it is. We are grateful for that donation and we'll be able to use it in our programs.
And Ms. Coakley, you good?
Yes.
Good. I enjoy talking
yes,
to you.
Yes, I'm good. And if anyone else wants to volunteer, please, you reach out to us and we will be happy with the location.
I see you're guilt tripping me now. I have to call. Is there a number for me to call so I can then come there and pass by?
Yes, you can call us at 829-0901 to volunteer. 829-0901. Yes. And some of that free time you have, please, we can use that so importantly, because without a man kettle, we cannot collect that spare change.
I can bring my club there to keep me company. How much hours I need to be there for?
You have to do a minimum of 4 to 5 hours now.
Okay.
You bring in a club.
Yeah.
It's individual. It's a little bit different.
Oh, okay. I could do shift. This could be done.
Yeah. You could do shifts. Yeah. It goes by so quickly.
Yeah. So that's a deal then. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm definitely going to push the effort. The initiative is going to last straight throughout the Christmas season. And of course, it goes beyond.
You know, information goes beyond. Yes. So we definitely will remind everybody to make the great efforts the Salvation Army has been doing for 91 years. It's an institution to be in the Bahamas and helping Bahamians for 91 years. It's something to be proud of and something that we must cherish and celebrate.
Thank you so much.
But thank you very much for joining me. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll continue the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri. I see the PLP is saying that the government, at least the Office of the Prime Minister, the spokesman, is saying that the PLP party will pay back the treasury in short order. There's no definite date for it, but they say they're waiting on receipts. I mean, a couple of weeks now, but they're still waiting on receipts. And as soon as they get the receipts, payment will be made. They're not sure exactly how much money, and they didn't give any detail as to what type of receipts are they waiting on. I assume it's hotel, right? Or because it's a delay, I assume it might be expenditure and stipend that they give the persons who traveled on this trip. But other than that, it should have been easy to get this money receipts by now. But we wait patiently. It is what it is, right? But I have some text here. And one text is asking about Carnival and when the Carnival coming, or will it be coming this year? Of course the Carnival coming this year. We send those people home early and they make no money last time. So I'm not sure which political party between the FNM or the PLP has the authorization to invite them to the Bahamas this time. I know the last time when they weren't allowed to open, the PLP Secretary General gave permission for the Carnival to open, and I know that it's a fundraiser for both political parties. 1 year the PLP gets it, the next year the FNM gets it. So I'm not sure who will be inviting the Carnival to come to the Bahamas, and so they can make their money that way. I see this one here. This texter's being trapped. He said some of the people are building condos on these farmland. And mind you, we have a farmland abuse, right? And this is where it frustrates me, even though they said that the inter-ministerial committee is going to have no timeline on when they'll be working on this, right? They said, how can you have a farmland and they have a housing complex on it? Automatically, I assume that whatever permit you have, it gets taken, gets revoked, and then you tell the people to move. But I'm watching to see the narrative. And when you see the narrative, it's suggesting that it won't be automatic that these people will be demanded to be removed themselves. That one of two of these people will be able to, or be allowed to stay in their shanty on these land, right? And I'm not sure if the Bahamian people are recognizing that that is being said or suggested, right? It's between the lines. We're saying that we're investigating, and if this one happens, we can do this. And there might be options where some people are unable to do that. And I am concerned about that narrative. And I watched the media not pressing the spokesman and demanding that he commit more information, you know. So I'm kind of concerned about that. But these a number of these things needs to be hashed out, right? I still believe that the information between the Minister of Works and the Prime Minister, and if they got it was the Minister of Finance who said that we're not going through with this BPL hedge fund thing, that needs to be plain. Don't need to be playing with the Bahamian public saying that I don't know and I was not aware, when as the Minister of Finance you should be aware. Someone had to give the order or just say that, well, it wasn't me, however this one gave the order in my stead, and I give him the authority and proxy to do it. But the idea that you're leaving it open, and for so long, you know, you're reminding me about as if he's the commissioner of police dealing with this minister knocking down the police thing, just waiting for so long and allowing people to just make up stories as it go along. You know, something is odd with it. I was entertained by the quiz and how the powers that be were able to pull that speech up and remind Kwesi of his last speech. And we need more of that. We have too many dual-faced politicians saying one thing on a Saturday mode and saying something on the next mode, on the Saturday mode, right? One minute, oh, FTX is the best thing since sliced bread. And next thing, oh, why you all let these people come here? And that was disingenuous. It was disingenuous. And I'm glad that they were called out. I see political mischief is brewing, as usual, and it's very unfortunate. I see that they are making fun of or agitating or suggesting that Lanisha Rowell is being investigated, and we found that that's not true. That was a lie, right? But there are people who are politically mischievous and who will do a good spin. And of course, when you do a good spin, it'd be picked up and people repeat it, and it becomes gospel. And even the established media, without checking, you know, and I guess they were concerned or curious to see what it was. But come to find out, none of it happened. And then we still have talk show hosts who continues that narrative, knowing that it's not true. We still have bloggers continuing that narrative, knowing it's not true. And you just don't do that to people, man. You know, you wait till the investigation has happened, or if there is an investigation, establish one. But you don't defame and diminish people just for political clout. And it's the most unfortunate, you know. I see I have one of two more texters who are vexed about what is happening. But I'm being vexed and not saying anything, doing anything about it. It makes no sense. We need you to call your member of parliament and complain and ask them to mention it in the House. But I'm still concerned about the what's happening with these ambassadors, because I want to know what their duties are, what they can and cannot do. I am concerned that they're able to go into private business and using government-sponsored funds, knowing that you are part of the party. I am concerned that that the ambassador can be a lawyer who is suing the sitting government that he represents, you know, ain't normal, right? And if this particular Casey continues with the lawsuit, I don't think he should be the ambassador at large at all. I think they need to call him in and say, I appreciate you. You know, I know you had to quit before when you was representing the government and go back in private practice. Perhaps that is where you need to stay. You're into making the money. that's what you need to stay. But working for the government ain't working out. It just ain't working out, you know, because it always seems to be a conflict. But anyway, Monday I should have be talking some new stuff, you know. So I'm kind of excited about that. I see tomorrow Blair Wood is having Their students, and we know that these are special needs students, are having a business outlet type thing where they created businesses, and that's going to be at St. Matthew's Church Yard. And I would encourage you to pass by and support that. I just want to mention that seems to be a good initiative. These children need encouragement, right? And the idea that they can be innovators and entrepreneurs on their own and come up with concepts that they can open their business and survive post their high school time. It's something commendable, and I want to see exactly what they came up with, what ideas they came up with. So I would be definitely supporting that. This has been Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri, and I shall be back next week. Have a wonderful day.